transitions can be hard. One moment we think we have it all figured out, and suddenly we are faced with the unexpected. Hi, I'm your host, Sarai Montoya. I believe that everyone has a special mission in this world, and through this means, I want to be a light in your path if you are ready to get inspired. Come join me on the Sarai Montoya podcast. Together, we will learn to maintain joy while navigating through seasons in life, a joy that is long-lasting and sustainable. I will be releasing episodes with topics to encourage you to continue striving to be the best version of yourself, but most importantly, the person God has called you to be. Thank you for joining me on this journey. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Sarai Montoya podcast. Thank you for giving yourself some time to listen in today. Before we start, I want to give a shout out to Cynthia Torres for writing a review on Apple Podcasts. Reviews let Apple know that you are enjoying this podcast, and that helps us expand our reach so that more people can find it. I also want to thank those who have shared this podcast with others and also on your stories. It means so much. In today's episode, I will share about my experiences in the country of Nepal. In particular, an encounter I had with a group of orphan children that really touched my heart. Lastly, we will close on what the Bible says about the orphan spirit. During my time in India, I met a pastor by the name of Ashok. He was actually from Nepal, but had been attending India's Bible College virtually for 2 years and was able to graduate with the pastors from India that week. He was the only one there from Nepal, and therefore he would sit with us during lunch. When I first saw him, I noticed he had burning scars on his face and was missing half of his arm. Later on, I heard his story and how this unfortunate accident actually happened to him as a baby boy. It was amazing to see how he would open his Bible with one hand and turn the pages. Although he had several scars, he had the heart of a servant and wasn't ashamed of his appearance. He had an amazing confidence and humbleness. You could see a reflection of God in his face, in his genuine smile. I felt so much compassion for him, but I was also very inspired by him. This made me think, man, this man looks like he's had it rough. Yet, he is doing what God has called him to do. He is actively planting churches in Nepal. He's graduating with his degree in theology, and he just loves to serve God. Perhaps you're like me, where you don't have as many visible scars on your face or in your body like Pastor Ashok does, but perhaps there's internal scars, scars where you've been hurt internally, emotionally, rejected by some sort, or underappreciated, and over time, that has made you question your identity and your purpose in life. Your purpose within the body of Christ, within the church, and who God has called you to be. Perhaps your upbringing was rough, but you pushed through, and you had to do a lot of things for yourself to get to where you are now. God knows all that you have been through, and that will not stop him from continue the work he is trying to do in your life, because he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Meeting Pastor Ashok made me realize that God can use anyone with a willing heart to be his representatives here on earth. Perhaps Pastor Ashok is missing an arm, but with his other arm, he's outreaching people for Christ. He is fighting to save the lives of people by sharing the gospel, taking them out of the pit of darkness. You have to understand that God isn't looking for people who look perfect or people who have it all together. God is looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. People who are willing to step out of their comfort zone and embrace the mission God has placed ahead of them. I had not done my research prior to going into Nepal. So as we were getting ready, I started doing my research, reading up about Nepal and trying to learn a bit about the culture. I also had the chance to ask Pastor Ashok for some tips. One of the times we were eating, I asked him, "Pastor, what's the primary language spoken in Nepal?" And he said, "Nepali." And I said, "Okay, that's good to know. That way I can add it to my Google Translate app and have it offline." Then I asked him, "How about the currency? What currency is taken in Nepal?" And he said, "Nepali." And I said, "Nepali? Like the language?" He said, "Yes." I told him, "Oh, okay, that's good to know too, so that I can exchange." Then I asked him one last question. "Pastor Ashok, I have one more question. What is the most popular food in Nepal that you recommend?" And he said, "Nepali." And I said, "The food too?" He said, "Yes, Nepali." I said, "Oh, okay, well, that's very good information. Thank you." And just to give you a geographical reference, Nepal is a very small country, and it's located between two large countries, the country of India and the country of China. It lies along the southern slopes of the Himalayan mountains, and its capital is Kathmandu. And roughly about 70% of the country is actually covered with beautiful mountains. 75%, that's 3/4 of the country is covered with mountains. And in case you didn't know, Nepal is the country of Mount Everest. This is the highest mountain peak in the world, the highest mountain peak in the world. And it's also the birthplace of Buddha. Buddhism is the second most common religion in Nepal after Hinduism. And Christianity is less than 1% in this country, so we have lots of work to do here. Mountaineering, hiking, and other types of adventures and ecotourism are important attractions for visitors there. Upon arriving, I met Pastor Ashok's family, and they welcomed us with a gift and took us around town. As we were driving looking for our hotel, I could see that the city was very rural. They had a lot of Hindu and Buddhist temples around. And also, in case you're like me and you enjoy the outdoors and hiking, perhaps you may want to visit Nepal. They had a lot of North Face and other hiking stores in almost every other corner. People from all over the world come to hike up the mountains of Nepal, so they are very big on hiking gear. After we checked into our hotel, we had a nice dinner. I got to fellowship with the pastor's wives and their families. And the next day, they picked us up and we drove to the local apostolic church in Kathmandu. The method of transportation in Nepal is mainly through motorcycles. People don't use cars very much, and some of the streets are a bit narrow. So after getting dropped off, we had to walk through a long dirt road through an alley to get to the church. It was a bit muddy, so I had to be careful where I stepped on to not get my feet stuck in the mud. Upon arriving, there were a lot of kids sitting outside. Before going inside, I took off my shoes because that is one of their cultural customs, as it is also in India. The moment I entered the church, I could feel such a nice atmosphere. Although it was a small gathering space, the presence of God was there. In Asia, most churches are underground churches. You are not allowed to have church out in public. It is against the law. So this church was on the lower level of a 4-story home. The local team started the service and led the worship. As the songs were going on, a group of young kids started coming in, and they all sat on the floor. During the preaching, the kids were very focused, paying attention and receiving the word. I had never in my life seen kids be so well behaved and attentive during a preaching. Usually my kids are drawing or playing with toys or in their kids' class at church, but these kids were focused. My husband was teaching that morning about the Holy Ghost.
God is in this place right now.
There
are angels in this place. And the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty in this place right now.
The kids were praising and raising their hands as he was teaching. They were so into it. They were hungry to learn. During the altar call, about 15 kids of about ages around 7 to 12 years old, they came up front asking God for the Holy Ghost. The moment we would pray and intercede for them, they would begin to cry and speak in tongues. They were praising God in the Spirit. It was so beautiful to witness all these young kids worshiping God at such a young age. My kids weren't with me on this trip, so in a way, I would see my kids in them. I had a bit of a foreshadow of what my kids will look like and experience when they too receive the Holy Spirit. My kids are only 3 and 4 at the moment, but as their mom, I try to teach them about the spiritual realm, even though we can't see it, because I think it's important that they understand it and start identifying symptoms of spiritual warfare at an early age so that they also learn how to fight on their knees at an early age, learning to depend on God. After praying for several of the children in Nepal, I also went ahead and prayed for a lady. Upon praying for her, God put in my heart to pray for her gifts. So I prayed and told her, "I don't know your need, but at this moment, I declare gifts from heaven to come upon you so that you can do what God has called you to do. I pray that the Spirit and the power of God that is within me can also be within you." She began to cry and break down, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of her. After the service finished, I asked her if those kids were hers, and she said, "No, only this little one is mine. All those other kids over there," she said, "they are orphans. I take care of them." In my spirit, I then knew why these kids were so attentive to the preaching, to the Word of God. They were hungry for the Word of God. I also realized why God had placed in my heart to pray for this woman's gifts. She was a caregiver to 15 orphans. I just can't imagine the challenges she must face on a daily basis to support these kids. After she mentioned to me that these kids were orphans, inside of me, I said, "Oh no, these kids are not orphans. They are precious children of God." That instant, I felt a motherly spirit come upon me. I felt so much compassion for them. So I told all the kids to come towards me because I wanted to hug them. The moment I hugged them, they all began to cry and break down. They cried so loud, with so much pain, with so much brokenness. I could sense their need to be loved, their need to be seen, to be valued and embraced. So I continued hugging them, all in a big group, for about 10 more minutes because they wouldn't let go. I also cried with them, but as I hugged them, I prayed for God to fill their hearts with love, for God to fill any emptiness with His Holy Spirit, for God to bring comfort, that God can open doors in their life and give them a bright and prosperous future. I may not know what it is to be an orphan, but as a mom of two children, I understand even more how much children need to be cared for and loved for by their parents and caregivers. Children need so much love and attention, especially in the early years as their brain is developing, as they build their identity and their confidence. Therefore, this experience with the children in Nepal really hit home. I was already missing my kids since we didn't take them with us on this trip.
Good morning, everyone. Greetings here from Nepal. We're on our way to an activity and just want to say hello. Thank you for those that are praying for us. I miss my babies. Can't wait to go see them.
Perhaps you may not know what it is to grow up without parents, or perhaps you do know what it's like to not have the love of a father or a mother. But one thing I do know is that we all, at one point in life, have felt emotionally alone. Perhaps you've had to cry yourself to sleep many times, as an adult or a young child or as a teenager. Perhaps you were forced to do things you didn't want to do, or you were mistreated. But look at you today. Look how far God has brought you through, and He has more in store for you. Similarly, if we consider the concept of orphanism with our spiritual eyes, we will realize that the orphan spirit is a spirit of oppression that tries to take our joy away, that tries to distract us from what we are called to do. But God is just a call away. He is always available for us. John 14:18 says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." This scripture tells us that as children of God, He will come to us in our loneliest moments. He will find us. He will not abandon us. I wasn't really supposed to go to Nepal. Our mentor and friend, Bishop Joe Prado, asked us to accompany him to supervise some of the churches there. But after this experience, I was able to understand that our visit to Nepal was like a visit from God. God visited those kids through us. He brought comfort through His word during the preaching, and He brought love and reassurance to these kids during the moment as we hugged. They were able to receive a motherly hug. Towards the end of our big group hug, as hearts were being healed, I felt peace in my heart, knowing that even though we had to return back home and these kids were staying behind in Nepal, God was staying with them and they were no longer orphans. Our taxi was waiting for us to head to the airport, so I had to leave right after the service. We hugged one last time and we parted ways.
God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.
My friend Sarah.
As a listener of this podcast, if you have not had a true encounter with God, I want to invite you in this moment to open your heart and invite the presence of God in. The moment you accept Christ in your life, you too will be able to feel His loving presence. And you will no longer have to live life in fear or loneliness again. If we go back in time to the fall of man, after Adam and Eve sinned, they became self-centered and they alienated themselves from God. They orphaned themselves from God. They didn't realize the greatness of God and tried to do things on their own effort. My dad told me a story once about a little boy who asked his father, "Dad, how big is God?" So his father took him to an airport and told him, "You see this airplane?" And the boy said, "Yes, it's very big." Now, you see the plane up in the sky? And he says, yes, it's very small. Well, that is the same with God. The closer you are to Him, the bigger He is for you. And the further you are from Him, the smaller He will appear in your life. This is such a sweet analysis to share with our children or with other people who perhaps don't realize the greatness of God. As Christians, we have to constantly connect with God, with our Father, and make it a lifestyle to be near His presence in order to comprehend what His capability is, in order to understand what our mission in life is during the current season we may be in. God deserves all the glory and all the praise, no matter what you may be going through. If you are listening to this podcast and you are already a believer in Christ, you must understand that the power that is within you through the Holy Spirit. It's important that you constantly assure yourself of God's faithfulness in your life. And remember that the closer you are in your relationship with God, the greater your God is, the greater your Father is, the greater your trust is in Him. Once you realize who God really is, you can't go back to your old ways, who you used to be, to your old habits, perhaps to that old lifestyle. You are now living to do all things for God because you know that you are His child and you are His representative, carrying His DNA. As a believer, you can trust and rely on God that He is fighting your battles. As a believer, you are able to rely on the Holy Spirit more. You don't take decisions on your own. You consult God for direction and for guidance. Scripture tells us in Romans 8:15 that the Holy Spirit you receive from God does not make you slave so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and you can cry to God, your Abba Father. Perhaps there's times when life gets tough and you forget that you are a child of Christ. Perhaps in those moments, you feel fatherless, you feel forgotten, you feel orphaned. But Scripture tells us that we are His children. So in those moments, it's so important that you understand who you are in Christ and capture those thoughts that try to confuse who God has called you to be. You have to quickly come to your senses and understand that you are fighting a spiritual war and the enemy is trying to oppress you. But in the midst of difficult situations, God says, I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. God will help you and protect you if you call out to Him. So this week, I want to challenge you to memorize a few of the following scriptures, and every time you feel the orphan spirit trying to oppress you, trying to come over you, when you feel lonely, when you feel self-sufficient, when you feel unseen, when you feel undervalued, say these scriptures and remember who you are. I will be adding these scriptures to the show notes so that you can refer to them afterwards. John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalms 27:10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Psalm 68:5. God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. And I will say that one more time. God is a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. Of all these scriptures, choose one to memorize, or a few, or you can even write them on a postcard and put it on your mirror. And when you're getting ready, you can see those scriptures on your wall. Once you memorize them, they will serve as weapons to fight those thoughts that try to stop you from the person God has called you to be. Remember that you have a mission ahead. Keep trusting, keep believing, because God is with you. Before we close, I want to say a prayer for you. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, thanking you for loving us as we are. Lord, in this moment, by the power of your holy name, Jesus Christ, I rebuke all spirit of fear, of shame, of doubt, or feelings of insecurity that my listener may be struggling with. I release power, I release peace and freedom from that orphan spirit. Your word says that you will not leave us as orphans, but you will come to us. Lord, just as you visited this kids in Nepal through your presence, visit my listener, God, through your angels, that your holy presence can be with them. Lord, embrace my listener with a hug, wherever they may be listening from, that they can feel your warmth around them, that they can cry unto you, Abba, Father. I pray favor over their lives, that they can commit to turning those negative thoughts away as they go about their week to memorize your word. Give them strength, give them comfort, and provide for their needs. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining me on today's episode and giving yourself this space to join in on the Sarai Montoya podcast. To view the complete show notes and all the links mentioned in today's episode, visit saraimontoya.com/podcast. You can also follow me on Instagram at sarai_montoya. And before you go, make sure to subscribe so that you may receive notifications right when new episodes are released. Lastly, I do have a quick favor to ask. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, I hope you'll let me know by leaving a review in Apple Podcasts. I'd love to read your reviews. Reviews let Apple know that great listeners like yourself enjoy the show, and that helps us expand our reach. So thank you so much. I pray that this podcast truly empowers you to become a better version of yourself, but most importantly, the person God has called you to be. I look forward to talking to you next time.